You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is the 5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. Talking about what's going on with this CBA agreement, the proposal that's out there. Players are getting set to vote on it. We'll see what happens with that. But a man who has been writing about it for the Seattle Times is with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline.
Coughing his lungs out.
Bob Condotta is there, I think. Are you okay, Bob?
Yeah. Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Bob. Do you need a minute? You need a drink of water or something?
No, I'm doing good.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell you one thing. Bob is one hell of a writer.
Yes, he is. He was the co-author on your book that just can't be found anywhere these days. Right?
Bob, did you get your last check yet? Those scallywags still haven't paid me.
Yeah, really? Right. Okay. Yeah, no, I got mine, so we'll see if there's any more of it.
Wow.
Yeah, you actually can. I think you can finally get it on Amazon next day delivery now. So they didn't have a. Yeah, that was an issue for a while.
Come on, that thing sold like 8 gazillion copies. You guys should have huge checks coming your way and vacationing in Hawaii and things.
I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it always works with sports books, is you get rich as hell.
Yeah, that's right. Those are retirement books right there.
That's right.
Hey,
yeah.
Bob, I know you wrote about this, but for people that didn't get a chance to read what you had to write, when it comes to this proposal that's out there, what are some of the things that stood out to you and the way that it would impact the Seahawks or could have impacted them?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, we're still all just kind of seeing it. The owners approved a version of the CBA today that they're presenting to the players, and all the players are now sort of getting a three-page kind of fact sheet of what's probably a 500-page document, but they're getting the kind of a Cliff Notes version for everybody to look at real quick. And the key guy or all the player reps are gonna apparently have some sort of a call tomorrow. KJ Wright, the Seattle's player rep, they'll talk about it and whether they want to approve it and then send it to a general vote. Then the general vote of the players is just 50%. So if 50% of them vote for it, then this could go into effect immediately, which is what the league wants. The league wants it to be done now so that they can start going to when they go to the TV, try to redo their TV contracts. They'd rather have everybody know exactly what they've got to pay to the players and all that here. So when they negotiate the new deals, and then it also makes it a little bit easier to start doing the work of this league year, the new league year, which is going to come up on March 18th. I think some things have been on hold a little bit until everybody sees exactly what would be in this. So when you start negotiating contracts that, you know, would go into the new CBA, everybody knows exactly what's going to be in there. You know, for fans, probably the stuff they care about the most is the 17-game season and three preseason games and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, for the players, there's about 400 pages of stuff related to healthcare and all that in there that they're going to have to really go through here as well.
Yeah. Bob, you mentioned the TV deals. Wouldn't it behoove the players to wait and see, or, you know, at least make this? When are the deals up? When's the NFL go and get new television deals?
Yeah, well, they want to go do. Yeah, they want to go do a lot of them. Within the next year, some of these things come up. So for sure, the league would rather. There's a thought that they would rather get a lot of this stuff done immediately before, say, the next presidential election, and whether that could impact the economy. You know, there's some things like that they would just rather go to it right now. And so if they get the CBA done now, than any TV negotiating they need to do. And then plus, as far as selling the, you know. There's two more postseason games is a big thing to start selling immediately. And if you get that approved for this year and you have two more playoff games, I mean, those are huge, even if it's just wild card games, those are huge money makers for everybody. So if you get those in place for right now, you start having a lot more money for everybody. So it's sort of just that. I mean, that they would like to get this stuff done now while they sort of know. And I think right now the economic landscape for all of this, I think, is better off for the league anyway.
Bob, Dave mentioned it earlier, and I'm kind of with him. 10-year deal, that seems kind of long, don't you think?
Well, that's what they did last time. So that's sort of the precedent here, was that that's exactly what they did then in 2011, and it went through the 2020 season. And so that's what they're sort of the template they're going on again. And again, that helps. That's that helps obviously with the TV deals and all that, is that just if you can, you sell them on, yeah, we know we're going to have labor peace for this long. So you're not buying, you know, you're not, TV, the networks or something aren't buying for something 5 years down the road and suddenly having to worry about whether there's going to be a change in, you know, the economics behind it or any of that. So that's sort of the thinking here there. But yeah, I haven't heard that as a pushback from players at all. You obviously saw pushback from the players on how they would pay online anyway on the 17 game season and how they thought about paying for that and some of that kind of stuff. But I haven't really seen the duration of it be an issue. But we'll see now that the players have it and they start pouring through it. Maybe that will be something they want to bring up, is that they'd rather have a shorter one.
What I mean, 17 games is the sticking point. I haven't read any players on Twitter, maybe you have, that have a problem with the expanded playoffs and the idea of a second bye week if there is a 17 game. It's how are we going to be compensated for the extra wear and tear in our body of a 17th game of the season? Do you feel like the proposal that's out there currently in terms of what they get back in exchange for that is going to come up short? Because we were talking to John Clayton earlier, and he feels like they may vote against this thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. The other big thing is the percentage of revenue that they get. So right now, under the current CBA, players get 47%. This new CBA would apparently take that up to 48.5 if the 17-game season and the expanded playoffs are approved, and if approved by 2021, I guess, to take effect that year in terms of the 17-game season. The playoffs could take effect next year, but the 17-game season wouldn't take effect until the 2021 season at the earliest. So I think that's the other big thing, is just the distribution of that. You saw some what I think are fairly significant for some players, changes in, a really relaxed, policy on marijuana testing that, you know, should probably make it a lot easier. I think that's a big deal for a lot of players is that and a real lessening of the penalties involved there.
No suspensions, right?
Minimum. And as a lot of people pointed out, much more relaxed sort of, you know, when you're going to get tested kind of stuff, so that it would be much easier probably for a lot of players to kind of work around this.
Well,
minimum salaries being raised by 90,000. I mean, that's one thing I've heard a lot of people say is for a lot of rank and file players, that's a really big deal. And a lot of players don't know how long they're going to be in the league. And so if you're voting on something right now and you're like, man, my salary immediately is going to go up by at least $90,000. That's not insignificant for an awful lot of guys. You know, when you think about the minimum salary, I think is $480 this year. So if you're like raising that by 20% for everybody across the board immediately, for the guys who are at that level anyway, that can be a pretty big deal and, you know, probably a savvy move by the NFL to approve something like that, but we'll see. You know, I think for a lot of, that's what these things always come down to, is for a lot of guys, is what's in it for me right now, and I don't know how long I'm going to be in the league, versus what's better for maybe players as a whole. And that's where things like the duration and stuff like that, you know, how many guys are even going to be around playing in 2028 to worry about, you know, how long the deal should last.
Yeah, just back to the testing, and from what I've, and correct me if I'm wrong, but just talking to players that have been in the league, they know when the test is coming unless you're already in the program, unless you've already been popped, meaning they get tested before training camp or before that whole thing starts, and if you pass, you're not tested again. You could smoke every day for the rest of the season. You're not going to be tested. So the guys that are getting caught are ones that have already been caught before, right?
Yeah, but they're the ones maybe who have the most invested in this too.
Right, yeah.
But I'm just talking from a general standpoint, though. I think a lot of players are just like, why are we even bothering with this at all? So
gotcha.
I think any lessening of that, I think, is a big deal to the players, because it's not just them, it's friends of theirs, right? Guys they see on teams or guys they're teammates with or whatever that get popped for this. And it hurts a team, obviously. And so, you know, if a team suddenly sees one of their best players go out for four games or whatever because of marijuana, you know, I think players feel like, I remember KJ Wright talked about this at length and during the season, just saying, you know, just about any athlete, I think, sees a difference between things you're using recreationally and things you're using that are performance enhancing. And players obviously understand why performance enhancing tests are always really stringent, because that impacts the play on the field. But, you know, players don't feel like marijuana has anything to do with the play on the field. And so why are we doing things to hurt the product for something like that?
I don't know. I've seen a few guys that I've said That guy looks like he's on dope.
And he might have been.
Why is he missing that tackle? No, I'm just kidding. One of the things that you talked about, Bob, was they like starting the season after Labor Day. And so just as an example, coming up this year, Labor Day is September 7th. So if you had a 17-game season, you have two bye weeks, and then, you know, working out the new playoff deal, it looked like it was going to be like late February 21st, I think, when you would have the Super Bowl if you implemented that right away. It just seems like everybody with this XFL thing, I mean, at first I doubted it. I thought, you know, you got to kind of keep people wanting more, but man, it just seems like people can't get enough football right now. And yeah, that would be, I mean, it'd be kind of odd, but do you think that that there would be as much popularity and still as much demand for it if you had like that? That's a long season, man.
Yeah, it is, but you're right. I think maybe there's a quick lesson that the XFL showed is that people will watch football at any time. I mean, people will continue to, you know, that you can't really give them enough of this, and especially meaningful games. I think everybody wants to be done with four preseason games and as few preseason games as you can play. But yeah, I think from a TV network standpoint, just, you know, late August is like the worst time ever for TV. Nobody's watching TV in late August because everybody's on vacation or doing this or doing that. And, you know, having, let's say if you open the season then and you're suddenly playing one of the most important games of the year at a time when, you know, everybody wants to be on vacation for the final time before you come back for school and all that. I think they've always wanted to try to avoid that. And that was why, when they moved the season to always starting at that time, it's worked out really well. And February has always been a real key time for television and advertising and all that. It's always been one of the sweeps months. So I think if they can put more product into February, I think they obviously, I'm sure, have talked to TV networks already, TV executives, to get an initial feeling on that. And they've probably gotten the idea that, yeah, we're more than fine with having a few more NFL games played in February, and that they probably don't think that'll impact it at all. But yeah, none of these proposals are going to be good for the XFL, and I have no idea if that really played into any of it. But, you know, adding two roster spots, adding more guys to the practice squad, having the two guys on the practice squad could have whatever experience they want. You know, right now they have the two accrued seasons thing for the practice squad, but now you could theoretically put, you know, a 35-year-old guy who's been in the league 10 years or whatever. Apparently you could have two guys like that on your practice squad. I mean, that would vastly deplete, I think, the pool of good players that for something like the XFL to be around, not only, and also, you know, if the XFL's whole deal to start the season after the NFL gets done, pushing them back another 3 weeks or whatever as well.
Bob, you mentioned in your article the NFL might go to Brazil and Germany. Is there a legit interest in American football, Brazil and Germany, or are they just trying to expand the brand a bit?
Well, it's interesting. So I mean, I don't know if that's really specifically in there, but Jason LaCanfora was who really floated that yesterday about the international games, and also just the idea that you could play neutral site games in the United States. And you know, he floated like playing a game in Notre Dame and places like that, that you could go do that. And that would be a way, having that 17th game, if everybody just played a neutral site game every year, then you still have the eight home and eight road kind of thing. And I haven't seen if that's really specifically detailed in what the owners approved today or not, but I do think the NFL really wants to continue marketing internationally. I think they feel like there's a real desire for that. I think they feel like there's a real market for that, and I think the NFL definitely wants to tap into that. They've had, I was surprised when, you know, the Seahawks played in London last year and going there, how many people there were who just go to those games without any, obviously there was a lot of Seahawks fans there, but I talked to a lot of people from London who just go. You know, they sell a season ticket to local people there who for just every game that's there, and they've sold a lot of those. I mean, it was 20 or 30,000 or something like that of people who just go to all these games. I think the NFL feels like they could play a whole, you know, basically play an eight-game home season there, and that they would sell out, you know, Wembley Stadium or the new Tottenham Stadium. And, you know, that could really be a big thing for them. And I think they want to try it in more places as well. And, you know, they've always sort of done it in the past with, like, you know, 20 years ago with NFL Europe, which is basically, you know, minor league football or preseason games, which nobody wants to watch, you know, even over here. But, you know, if you give people the real NFL product, you know, I think they feel like that's something they could sell anywhere in the world. And I think they want to do that.
Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Let's Let's talk a bit about this Seahawks team, Bob. I want to get a thought from you. We played a cut from Michael Robinson the other day talking about, in his opinion, he wasn't quoting Marshawn, but he was saying, hey, as his unofficial spokesman, I think he wants to come back, and I think he's the only place he would be interested in playing would be Seattle. What do you think of that? People have made the claim that this is a team that needs to get younger and faster and cheaper and all of that. He doesn't fit that scenario. So is he a guy you think there's a value to bringing him back?
Well, does Marshawn want to go through all of training camp? That's what I've thought. That's what surprised me. My understanding when Marshawn came back was he sort of really liked the idea of you know, just kind of being on retainer and, hey, I can come back for the fun part without having to go through the drudgery of training camp and the off-season program and all that. I rule out nothing from Marshawn's standpoint. Every indication I got sort of during that was, you know, this was sort of a one-time deal to bring him back for these few games because we really need him, and he's in shape at the moment for this. And, you know, they also, obviously, as we sort of found out later, you know, that kind of the whole idea came up around the time Rashad Penny got hurt, so Marshawn had a couple weeks to kind of quickly get into shape for when they then really did need him. It would surprise me with his age and everything if that was really a long-term thing to want to do there. I mean, they've got, you know, Chris Carson, by all accounts, is going to be fine. Rashad Penny sounds like his recovery is going well. You know, that's still obviously a tricky one with an ACL, and you sort of got to get out there before you really know where you are in that. But, you know, there's a lot of young running backs they could find that are out there, that, you know, if you want to go that route, I guess my short answer is it would really surprise me if he were to come back for a full season and you know, be there from day one of training camp and all that. But, you know, if it's sort of the same thing as last year where, you know, hey, stay in shape just in case we need you down the road, I could kind of see a scenario like that happening again. But, you know, obviously this year that happened only when their top three running backs got hurt. I mean, it's not ideal to have to suddenly need to do something like that, as we saw this year.
Hey, Bob, they signed Greg Olsen, and I thought this might happen, get kind of a tepid response. I'm not sure what kind of response you got writing about it and on your Twitter, everything, but I just feel like everybody's going to be restless until they sign a pass rusher. So, you know, I feel like it wasn't well received, but I like it. But tell us what you think. Was that a necessary move? Did you see that coming?
Yeah, I thought all along they were going to need to do something tight end. You know, Will Dissly, it sounds like, you know, his recovery is going well. But again, that can be a tricky injury to, you know, as Richard Sherman basically had the same injury, and we saw how he played much better in year two coming off that injury than he did year one. You know, the veteran guys, Ed Dixon's not going to be back, and Luke Wilson's not going to be back. I mean, they've got to get younger or Greg Olsen isn't getting younger, but they've got to get more kind of, they just needed to add to the depth there and kind of replenish that position with what happened there this year, basically starting with one whole tight end crew with the start of the year and ending it with a completely different tight end crew. You know, I think they need to try to not do that. And I think for a 1 year thing, I think Greg Olsen can, you know, it can work out. You know, they are paying him a little bit. I was a little surprised, I guess, at the amount of money. I thought it'd be a little cheaper than that for him, but honestly, there must have been a market. I wouldn't imagine they completely blew out, you know, probably paid him twice what the other teams were offering or whatever. I would imagine it was probably in line with what the others were offering to make sure they got him. So, you know, he went healthy last year. He played pretty well, and that's always the big if there is, you know, I think he'll be 34 or 33 years old when the year begins. So that's certainly an issue to look at. But I thought it made sense from that standpoint to go get another tight end for sure, given sort of where they are and you know, who's logically not going to be back, and they don't have that many guys at that position right now. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted one somewhere, not high up, but somewhere in the draft as well, to kind of get another young body in there at that spot.
Bob, this secondary's been under fire for a while now. I particularly like the play of Trey Flowers. Late in the season, he kind of stumbled a bit, but Shaquille's a Pro Bowler. You got two safeties back there. Do you feel like the Hawks should be looking at a corner, and is Slay the answer?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because if you really break down Trey Flowers' numbers for the year, they're not that bad at all. You know, the passer rating against and all of that, they're not they're not Richard Sherman level, and I think that's part of the problem with everybody in the secondary right now, is I think you're comparing all these guys still to Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, and Cam Chancellor, who were three of the best players in the history of the game to ever play this. And, you know, there's no way you're going to completely replicate that. But I, you know, I've gotten zero feeling from anybody that they're ready to just completely, you know, kind of move away from Trey Flowers and decide that that's a done thing or something like that. But certainly you need to bring in, you know, to me, the biggest thing is the nickel spot and kind of getting, I think they really need to add another veteran there who can help you at the nickel and then maybe play on the outside as well if you need to, just kind of have a guy who could maybe do both. You know, sort of the merry-go-round they had at nickel this year. I mean, everybody made such a big deal about their base defense scheme. And to me, that was so much predicated on the fact that they didn't really have a nickel back that they kind of went into the year trusting, you know, after they decided to not try to re-sign Justin Coleman, and, you know, they knew they had Michael Kendrick, so they sort of just went that route. But I think they were hoping that Enugo Amadi maybe would have showed himself a little bit earlier, or that Jamar Taylor would have been as good as, you know, maybe they hoped he'd been, as they thought he'd been in the past. So to me, for sure, I think they're going to add a corner, you know, whether they do it fairly high up in the draft or through free agency, to make sure they have a guy who can fill that nickel back spot. And then if it's somebody who can compete on the outside in case you need to, you do that as well. But, you know, it would surprise me if they made a big move to just say Trey Flowers is not part of the picture at all anymore.
Bob, good stuff. We always appreciate you taking time, especially considering the truckloads of cash you've made off your book. You still talk to us, so that's very cool of you.
Apparently, Bob got a better deal than I did. That's for sure. He gets paid on time, and he's got truckloads of cash coming in.
He's calling us from a beach right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob, we appreciate
it. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. Okay.
Bye. There you go. There's Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times. Does a great job covering the Seahawks, and he's the co-author of Dave Wyman's book, which apparently has now become available again on Amazon. They've been selling out of this thing. Couldn't find it anywhere. I still can't find it at Costco.
Really?
Yeah. I look every time I'm there. It's not there anymore.
I think they're hiding something from me then.
I'm just telling you, there used to be a giant stack of them there, and now they're gone. That's all I can say. Meanwhile, are people expecting way too much from the Seahawks when it comes to free agency? We'll talk more about that when we come back with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael, bump us in today for Jim Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Michael, bump us in for Jim Moore this week. How you feeling so far? You feel like it's been going well?
Awesome. Sitting here with you guys, talking sports and stuff.
Talking sports, saying sports stuff. That's cool. That's cool.
My wife, when I would try to talk to her about sports, she's like, you know, you should get paid for this. This was like 10 years ago. I was like, you know what? That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Now look
at you. Do that anyway.
You speak it into existence, Dave. That's how it works. Meanwhile, we talked about, are we putting too much pressure on this or expecting too much, I guess, in free agency for this team? Are we expecting them to fix everything, every ailment? There's the cure in free agency, right? I feel like that's the easiest way because you've got names that you're familiar with as a football fan, whether you're fantasy football, whatever, you're just ultimately very familiar with a lot of the prominent names in this league. So you look and say, well, why don't you go get that guy? Or this guy's a free agent. Just bring him over. And then you start getting into the whole salary cap thing. But, Dave, you've looked at some numbers and you've looked at some things feeling like maybe free agency isn't always the best route.
Well, it's part of it. It certainly is. And, you know, it's funny I asked you to put it in one or the other. I look at trades as almost being like, I don't know, I feel like free agency, you're kind of competing with a whole bunch of other teams. Trades are kind of like, hey, it's just two teams making a deal here. But, you know, that's the three ways you put together your team. Obviously, you get the draft, you go in free agency and sign guys off the market. I just think it's easier when you get a trade because it's just one-on-one, pretty much. Sometimes there's two or three teams coming in and bidding, mm-hmm. but for the most part, you know, I feel like they probably got Dwayne Brown for a lot less than other teams would have because he really wanted to come here. And, you know, at the time, you know, that was something that, you know, they hit Houston at exactly the right time. Yeah. So I think they were just exasperated with Dwayne Brown.
A couple of times.
Yeah. And
they've gotten the best of Houston in both of these deals, in my opinion.
Yeah. Agreed.
Clowney and Dwayne Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, and then on Clowney, I mean, my gosh, they got him to pay half of it. So, you know, Dwayne was just tired of being there. But, you know, I was just going through because, look, we've got $45 million in cap now. Is that what Big Voice Guy says, 44?
No, Clayton said it's after the Olsen deal goes through, it should be around 53.
Okay.
I'm not sure where he's saying that people's numbers are off depending on what site they're. So if you go with the professor, we're looking at after Olsen, 53.
Right. So, I mean, should you go out and just go on a big spending spree? And I feel like that's what everybody wants. But, you know, if you go through and look at the game day roster, I mean, and I went through, you know, I have the spotting boards that, you know, when we do a game and you just go through and look, I mean, it's 2-1 draft versus free agents and trades, because that's how you build your team. You know, you draft guys, and this is like they're big. You know, you saw Step Brothers, right? You've seen that recently.
Love it.
Remember John Schneider in the very beginning said, this is the Catalina wine mixer.
The bleeping Catalina wine
mixer. Yeah, draft is. The draft, yeah. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. So, yeah, that when they go into it, I think that that's more important than anything. So, I mean, look, we go into this free agent period, and yeah, you want to spend a little bit of money and get things right, but for the most part, when you go through, you know, and you look at the starters, it's like 8 of them are draft choices. 3 of them are, you know, guys that you either picked up off the free agent market or you traded for. So, and Clowney and Brown, I mean, they don't do a ton of trades, but, you know, they've done some stuff on the free agent market. But the reason why I was thinking about it, just because, just going through and looking at it, and that's what John Schneider always says. That's how you build your team. You build your team through the draft. And it also got me thinking that, like, you know, thinking about what I talked about yesterday with Collier, you know, guys will get better. And so
you hope.
Know, Cody Barton, yeah, and that usually happens with the Seahawks. I mean, their guys get better. And I'm glad that Bob said that about Trey Flowers because, yeah, he was probably wrongly persecuted more than any other team or any other player on the team.
It's just his bad moments seemed to come at the worst time. The timing was bad.
Right. Yeah, and it was at the end of the season. Yeah. But, no, they've just done a good – I think you can expect a ton of improvement. And so, you know, I guess I would say to Seahawks fans, I wouldn't go crazy if they don't spend up all their salary cap room this year. I don't feel like – are they in the same sort of, hey, we're further ahead than we thought and we're going to go and get some free agents and do what the Rams did? I mean, the Rams traded away their future. I don't think they have a first-round draft choice for like 4 years.
Yeah, they're going to have to release some guys or not be able to re-sign guys. They're going to have to re-sign Jalen Ramsey. They don't have first-round picks, so they're in a tough spot. They may cut, you know, Todd Gurley. I mean, it just they went for it. Michael Robinson talked about it. He says he thinks the Seahawks are a year ahead of where they thought they would be heading into 2019.
I think you got to be happy with the way things left off. To me, if their backfield was healthy toward the back end of the season, we would have felt differently looking at the Seahawks going into the playoffs. You know what I mean? Knowing the fact that Pete Carroll wants to run the you-know-what out of the football and play tough defense and be explosive in the passing game and not give up the explosive passing play on defense. So I think they're a year ahead of what they thought they would be going into the 2019 season.
Maybe, I mean, I don't know if that's how they feel or not. They haven't had the rebuild yet. People have predicted it. Mm-hmm. Year before last, we had the experts saying this is a 4-win team. That's a 6-win team. They'll be lucky if they win 7. They win double digits. Same thing with last year to a lesser extent. You didn't hear 4 wins, but you heard 8-8 maybe. Again, double digit wins. So they haven't had that step back year yet. They haven't had that year where, man, all right, this is clearly a rebuild, and they'll get a better draft pick, and okay, we'll live with this year. They haven't gone through it as much as everybody anticipated and looked at what they were doing and said, yeah, that's a step back year.
No, they haven't. They haven't gone through it because of what Dave mentioned. They draft well. And I'm kind of on the other side. I think that they need to make a couple big purchases. I think they got some young guys who are going to develop. A Cody Barnes is going to develop. Marquise Blair is going to develop. Trey Flowers is going to get better. But I think they need to make a splash in this free agency. And obviously they need to do it on the defensive line. It's kind of like when you have an injury. You have to focus on the injury and the muscles around it. You know what I mean? So right now the injury on the defense is the defensive line, and it puts pressure on the secondary like we mentioned. So what do you do to help the secondary? You spend some money on the defensive line. Offensively, I think they need to spend some money on that offensive line to help the running backs, to help Russell Wilson, to help these receivers. But I just want to see a little sense of urgency because Russell Wilson's not getting younger. I think he has maybe 4 years, 5 years of being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, hopefully longer than that. Tom Brady's playing until he's 50, so who knows. But I think that they need to show a sense of urgency, and I think that will calm the Hawks down a little bit. Signing Greg Olsen, I think, was a good move. I think if that move was done maybe weeks from now, it wouldn't be such a big deal. People are panicking. Why are you getting this old dude? He's done. He's been injured. So they're always going to make moves. They're going to draft well. I just want to see one or two really big moves this offseason.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I don't, right. And that's if you're going to make the big purchase, as much as I'd love Slay or I'd love some of these other names that have been thrown out there, you get that big purchase on the D-line. I think the trickle-down effect is there. As you've talked about it, Dave, and you've talked about it, Bump, just about, you know, doesn't matter who's out there in coverage, doesn't matter what his name, whether it's Richard Sherman, whether it's Stephon Gilmore, whoever you want to throw out there as the elite, they're going to get burned if you've got no pass rush. If you allow any quarterback, doesn't have to be the elite, any quarterback in this league sit back there, they're going to pick you apart eventually. They can only stay with the receivers, and Bump said he was dust after 3 seconds. You couldn't keep up with him. So, I mean, it was – so that's going to trickle down. You get a pass rush, you get that consistent pressure. That's going to help these. That's going to help Trey. That's going to help Shaq. That's going to help everybody back there.
Yeah. I don't have a number on it, but I can't tell you the number of times where there was no pass rusher in the league that could have got to the quarterback this year just because they were playing so soft. So, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, and then this is just kind of supports the Darius Slay thing. Mm-hmm. We said this yesterday. If they hired him and brought him in here and Pete talked about why and everything, and he allows us to play more press man, everything, that's going to help the pass rush.
Right.
So no question, but it just every time this year, everybody panics and go, oh, we got to get this guy and we got to get that guy. But, you know, look at guys like Rasheem Green, how much he improved. And I expect that same kind of improvement from Collier. I mentioned that yesterday. But you look at 6, 7, 8 guys that are starting on your offense, defense, it's through the draft. And the Seahawks have been the best at Schneider finding the right guys and Pete coaching them up.
All right, coming up, we've touched on the CBA, the proposal that's out there. The players are voting on it. We're going to isolate some things we really like or maybe don't like about this entire thing. We'll get into that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Who's this? Walking Papers?
It is. Good call, hey. Dave. Look at Dave. He's in the know.
Name Bump, that tune.
Bump, you heard of him?
Never in my life.
One of the great bands ever.
You know, what Brian Schoening should be doing is playing country music bumper.
No, Brian, you should not be doing that.
I like my job, Dave. Thanks.
Brian should not be doing that.
If Russell can't listen to it, then we can't listen
to
it.
We don't need that negativity in our heads, Dave. We need positivity before the show.
See, I was going to say depressing, but yeah, it's right. He said negativity.
That's right. That's right.
That's
meanwhile, we've spent some time talking about the proposed CBA. There's more I like about it than don't like about it. I love the idea. The more I've talked about or heard about and talked about more teams being involved, I love it. I don't think it is, hey, you're just letting in every Joe Schmegegi in there and you don't have to be any good to get into the postseason. I don't think that's true. I think it'd be a rare occurrence that an 8-8 team or a losing team would be in there. It would probably happen, certainly, but I don't think it'd be the end of the world. I think it makes it exciting. I don't think you did the percentages in terms of the amount of teams that are being let in compared to the other leagues. I don't think there's anything bad about that. Are we in agreement there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, at first, until I, you know, kind of looked at the numbers, because I looked at other, you know, just to review, Major League Baseball, 30 teams, they're going to let 14 in now, right? Are they adopting this extra 4 teams or not?
What are we talking about? In baseball?
In MLB.
I don't think that's been officially
It's not
adopted.
Official yet, but they probably will do that. But they were probably the stingiest, I'll call them. You know, 10 teams would get in, so 33%. But now it looks like they're going to be 47%. But you look at the other ones, like the NFL was 37.5% of teams make it to the playoffs. Now it's going to go up to 43. So just 2 extra teams. And then if you look at NBA and NHL, those let about 50% in. But that's what I didn't want. I didn't want the 50% deal.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like half the league makes the playoffs. It doesn't seem very special, but the Seahawks still are, I keep saying that, the NFL's still in a good range, I think, there, and it's going to sell.
It's going to sell. It gives the fan something more. As a fan, I love it. Now, moving on, let me ask you, as guys that played the game, that 17th game, how big of a deal is that? When you're assessing it from your body point of view, like, man, how do I feel now? You do get the extra week off, right? You get the extra bye week.
You get
Are you in
money.
Favor of that? Now, as a fan, I got to tell you, I like it. I like having that extra game. It's more football. It's one less preseason game, which we don't need. So you get three preseason games. You got one extra bye week, so you got a 17-game schedule. You guys know the grind. You know what it is to play that season. Is it? Am I being too light on that? It's a much bigger deal than I'm giving it credit for.
Well, I played 17 games 3 years. Three of my 9 years, we went to the playoffs, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. So I guess if you're going into the playoffs, everybody thinks, well, that's a long grind. Those guys are going to end up playing, what, 20, 21 games? But, I mean, if you're winning and you're going, you don't care. You don't care about that.
You're getting compensated. As long as the contracts reflect that, I think they'll be okay with it. And with the two buys, I think that helps it out a little bit. I'm kind of against, like I said earlier, the three preseason games because that limits opportunities for guys to make the football team, those guys who are on the bubble. But I get it for the it's all about the veterans, right? We talked about it earlier. These things, when we talk about, oh, is this hard on the body or how many preseason games should they play, we're really just in referencing the veterans. The young guys, I think when you're coming out of college, 20, 21 years old, 22, you don't really care that much. But then look at Canada. Canada plays an 18-game season.
Really? Is that their season?
Yeah, 18 games. I mean, they only have like a few games in the playoffs. So I guess if Canada can do it, we can do it, right?
Yeah, I don't – I mean, look, I'm speaking for these guys again. I'm talking about, you know, here's what I don't want. I was sharing this with you guys during the break that I feel like last time they could have done a better job negotiating for more money. That's really what they want. Mm-hmm. They want more money. And I feel like they gave it up in return – for less practices and less hitting in practice.
Right.
And again, I think that happens naturally anyway. Coaches these days paying a guy $30, $35 million like Russell Wilson, you're not going to go out and put him in harm's way. You're not going to go out there and have guys smashing each other. You don't want Dwayne Brown out there, your $12, $13 million tackle, possibly hurting his elbow or anything like that.
Or if you pay Clowney $20-plus million.
Yeah, you're not going to do that anyway.
I didn't do it in high school. Towards the end of the season, I was a head football coach. I mean, we took it easy, man.
Right.
We only played, what, 9 regular season games.
Yeah, and you take the pads off. Here's what I'm afraid they're going to do this time, and I'm not joking about this, that they're going to make this big concession so they can get marijuana. I that is not a big deal. And I've said this since like the second year in the league when I figured it out. You get tested once a year at the beginning of the year. And if you're clean, you don't get tested the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So
you can smoke it every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, that shouldn't be that hard to get done. And so I'm just afraid that this marijuana thing has become a huge deal, and I won't go into making fun of them. Some of the weed users out there, they love it when I start
weed
going
users.
Like,
I know
you're
biting your tongue. You want to?
I know, because they're easy to rile up, man. They just for some reason. I'm always like, hey, I thought you guys were supposed to be mellow, man. Why are you guys so aggressive? But yeah, I don't want to see this be the negotiation where, well, we got our weed, you know. It's just there's so many other things for them to get.
That's really just for the guys that have already tested dirty, right?
They're in the there's program. Not that many guys that are.
The only reason you get a test you're not prepared for is if you've tested dirty before.
Yeah.
Because as you both know better than anybody, you test and before the season starts,
and they,
you pass
they
it.
They tell you when. That's what pissed me off.
So
put it down for a little bit. Just put it down. You'll be fine.
The guy that gets caught knowing it's coming is like, you kind of deserve it, man. If you're that much of a dope that you can't.
You don't want
abstain.
That knucklehead on your team.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? You know it's coming.
Yeah.
And it's the only time you have to deal with it is this one time. Just stay on the straight and narrow for this 1 or 2 weeks, whatever it's going to take. You pass the test and then go nuts, man. Help yourself.
Do your thing.
So the fact that there are people in the program for weed, I just laugh and go, what were you thinking, man?
So it's just that to me, I'm just afraid. I know that they're not going to, you know, entirely give away the whole thing just for that. But I know that the players want that. I just hope that they don't. You know, I feel like the NFL is going to hold it as something really sacred.
Yeah.
That, well, I don't know if we can give you that just to make them want it more. And they really don't need
and then
that.
They feel like we won. We got it.
Like they won something. Same thing with the, like I said, I think not hitting in practice was a natural process. Anyway.
I didn't understand. We'll talk with John about this, but the idea that they're not going to expand the rosters but expand the practice squad roster, what the hell does that do? I don't get that at all.
Yeah, you can.
How does that help?
helps practice. I don't know. Maybe it allows you to develop guys more because you can be on practice squad for 3 years. You only allow, what, 10 guys, I think, on practice squad?
Yeah,
10. Well, like that. So,
but you can expand the roster to help with the extra game, right? You've got more guys available. You can deactivate.
Well, they'll
right.
probably do that. But I know that they've had guys that they had to let go off their practice squad that have gotten taken away.
Right.
So, I mean, that could be the one advantage for the teams. But, yeah, it's I think that there's some of those things are really good. I think most of it is good, good stuff. But I hope that the players don't get hoodwinked by weed.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk more about this. The Professor John Clayton will join us next, talking football with him here with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow. You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
This could be our last day of learning because Bumpus isn't here with us tomorrow.
What?
I'm out. Vegas, baby.
Oh, man. I want to go.
Who's in with us tomorrow? Is it just Dave and I?
I don't know. I know Gross is filling in, but I thought that was until next week. You'll have to wait and see.
We're all going to find out together.
We don't need no stinking Gross.
We don't need to learn. We know stuff already. But what did we learn today?
We learned that Bump does a good Jim Moore impression.
Michael, you can play the role of Jim Moore here and express your disappointment in the Cougs' loss.
By golly, gee whiz, Cougs. I picked you to win at home, and you disappointed me again. The best thing going about Coug basketball is the basketball court itself. It's pretty cool. It shows Eastern Washington, Western Washington.
That's all you have to say
that's
about
all I
the
gotta say.
That was
the
a very point. Jim Moore comment. Yeah. That is. Jim would isolate the court. Just go, they do have a pretty good court, though. I really like watching that on TV. It looks nice.
You like how it kind of tells like the story of a little connection to Seattle, the big city, and then goes across the Palouse. You got the WSU flag on the Space Needle.
It's pretty. It's nice to look at.
I like how you started it out. By golly, gee whiz. Oh, hell's bells.
There's Michael Bumpus's Washington State Cougar basketball report.
There it is.
Beautiful floor.
We like the floor.
Well, there wasn't much to talk about.
He sees the positive side in things, yeah.
What else did we learn?
We learned that we have a stepbrother situation waiting for us in Peoria.
On a lighter note, Shannon, I understand that Bob and I get to share twin beds in a room. Oh. We're going to make them into bunk beds. There's going to be so much room for activities.
I'm not sure how this is going to work. That is why I emailed Maura last week to give you guys the heads up.
All right. How are we going to fit
on it out between the three of you?
How are we going to fit on twin beds? I don't know how that's going to work. Shouldn't we rock, paper, scissors for the other beds or something?
Even if I took one of the twins, one of you guys is still...
Shannon should be in the twins. She's trial size. Come on.
If you guys do make the bunk beds, just make them sturdy. You remember the movie?
Yeah.
Make it sturdy.
There's blood tools? Everywhere.
I hear power tools.
Yeah. There's blood everywhere.
Well, maybe Maura can sleep in there in that room, and then you and I can share the queen bed.
There you go.
I'll stay in the twin. I don't want to face either barrel, Dave.
I'll try to be good. Last time, Danny was the grosser person.
That does not surprise me at all.
This time, I'm going to be the grosser person.
You said he didn't. I bunked with him at the Super Bowl, and I've never heard anybody snore louder.
Danny?
My dad's a black belt in snoring. And Danny's like a grandmaster. It was unbelievable. It sounded like it hurt.
I can't sleep if someone snores. I literally will go sleep in the car. I bunked with a buddy, snored so loud, I slept in my car. I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do, like in football, when you're on the road? Do you have to get somebody who doesn't snore?
Nah, yeah, I was lucky. Never got one.
Yeah.
I tried to be nice to him. I tried to just make noise to stir him. I was taking change that I had in my pocket. I had set it on the nightstand. I'd throw it on the nightstand, and he'd kind of stir, and I kept clapping my hands, and he'd stir, and then finally I just whipped him with a pillow. Shut up!
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, sorry. And then 2 seconds later, he's back.
My dog snores.
Yeah, so does mine, but not like Danny.
You can handle it with the dog?
Yeah, I can sleep through it. Danny was, he was rattling the windows. What else did we learn?
We learned that we are not the go-to show for country music.
Trevor Moab. Yeah, no negativity. You don't need that stuff.
Only country I can not connect with, but think about is Carrie Underwood. And I feel like most of her stuff is like man bashing. He did you wrong, kick him to the curb, all that
stuff.
She's
more pop country, right? She's not like country is she?
I don't know.
Bump would not know.
No idea.
I don't know. It's a good thing. Negative.
I still think Taylor Swift's country. She's probably pop, right?
I don't think she's been country for a long time. Where's Ashley when you need her? Ashley's our resident country expert. That was a very fair answer. I don't know.
That's all I got.
Now we're going to get country fans texting in. Come on, Bob. She is country, you dope. Or she's not. I don't know.
I think it's a mixed bag. I think you get like country purists that are like, no, Taylor Swift. But then you have people that are, think they're like, oh, I was swayed to country because I like her. So I think it's.
Yeah. Well, Taylor's not anymore. I know that with certainty. I think she was sort of and isn't anymore. But Carrie Underwood, I've got no idea.
Some of the old school country guys are like yodelers, too. You ever heard, like, I'm a Rolling Stone from Texas, that song?
No.
And the guy yodels.
I could do without yodeling.
He's an old school cowboy guy. Yeah, so.
Nobody wins.
All kinds of different.
Nobody wins with yodeling. It's no good. Did we learn anything else?
Didn't Jewel used to yodel, too?
I don't know.
I think she did.
I think Shakira yodeled during the halftime show.
Yeah, true.
No, she did the... Whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, that's just called yodeling.
Oh, all right. did we learn anything else?
Nope, that's all.
All right, there's all the learning for the day. I want to thank our guests, John Clayton, Shannon Dreyer, and Bob Condotta for joining us on the program. If you missed anything, just head to the podcast page. It's right there for you, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, and then just click our picture, our beautiful picture. It's right there waiting for you. Bump, thanks so much, man. Enjoy Vegas.
Thank you.
Have a great time.
Have fun.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Fun week with Michael Bumpus. We're back with you tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Let's go, baby.